Angeles area in the mid-1970s. Every Friday, I would bring friends to the Westwood area. And of course, most people there aren't interested in talking to strangers about Christ. So I mostly met negative reactions, and people really weren't open to being invaded by me and my friends. Really, that perspective that we're going to lead a total stranger to Christ is strange when you think about it. It would be like a young guy leaving for errands for the day, telling his mom, "I'm going to the mall today, I'm going to pick up some clothes, then I'm going to get some gas in the car, and by the way, I may choose to get married to someone I meet at the mall." Who would ever think to say such a ridiculous thing to their parents that they're going to marry a stranger? That sounds odd when we put it at that level, but how much more intense lifelong is the issue of coming to Christ and even getting married? We've had this naive perspective that we will just walk up to total strangers and lead them to Christ. Again, if God blesses that sort of arrangement, great. But in the day-in and day-out living of evangelism, we will see it as more of a process than an instantaneous arrival. I believe that in the course of decades of doing evangelism, it will be rare for us to lead total strangers in sinners' prayers of repentance. If the Incarnation tells us anything about evangelism, it is that we come to the Lord through friendships. As we serve our way into people's hearts, we are really just making friends, and the Holy Spirit touches people as they see the demonstrated kindness of God, and then we answer their questions about Christ. In the Matthew 13 story again, the seeds were scattered on the ground, and the expectation on the part of the sower was apparent that something would happen in each case of planting. It wasn't the worry of the sower that something would happen, that he had to cause it to happen, or that he had to cause the seed to germinate. He just knew that it would happen naturally. The one part of the story that's not apparent to us, but that something any Middle Easterner would know, was that after the sowing occurs, then comes the plowing. That is the Middle Eastern approach to farming. In America, of course, we plow first, get nice straight furrows laid out, and then we plant. But in that part of the world, they plow only after there is a sowing that occurs. What Jesus is alluding to here is that wherever the seed hit, there was something that occurred after that. We might call it the follow-up of the Holy Spirit. But God had a vested interest in each of the seeds that went out. As we plant the seed of the good news of the kingdom in whatever form and in whatever soil type of the heart, God, the Holy Spirit, will follow up on that planting with His presence. As we do servant evangelism, I've seen that God will bless our willingness to step out. As we get out of our comfort zones and simply sow seeds of kindness, God will go behind us and before us and will cause something to happen. And essentially, we'll take the responsibility off of our shoulders, and we need to see it as something that falls upon God's shoulders. He's the one that's causing fruitfulness to occur. James Packer, in his book, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God, brings up this question: what is God's part and what is man's part in evangelism? We need to revisit that question on a regular basis, because...